Take your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Acts chapter 10 if you would. The book of Acts chapter 10. We do have one other graduate, Anne Marie Hollis, and the Hollises, of course, are on the road tonight. They'll be back sometime later in the month of June, and I will ensure that Anne Marie gets her gift as well from the church. We don't mean to leave her out, but they're out tonight on deputation and faithfully serving the Lord. Acts chapter 10. This is an intriguing story about Cornelius and his encounter with Peter. The Bible says of Cornelius that he's a devout man. He's one of fear and of faith. And we're led to believe that in his praying and seeking God, that God is about to answer that and about to meet his need. In fact, as you finish out the chapter, you see that the Lord does that. The angel appears and knows Cornelius by name and told him to go get Peter and then gave him the exact address for Peter. Now, I just got to tell you, there's something incredibly comforting to a Christian in that God, who tracks all the journeyings of billions of stars, knows our name, knows where we are, knows what we're doing. And he cares about us. He knows exactly where to find us. In fact, to follow the text, he knows exactly how to lead people across our path. What an amazing comfort and great promise and reminder that is. And so Cornelius, after he receives the instruction, he's told to send for Peter, and Peter would tell them what they needed, and he sends some soldiers. And in the meantime, Peter has a dream. And it's in that dream where God speaks to him, and that's part of where I want to pick up in the story tonight and see a little bit about this vision that God gives him. If you're able to stand, let me invite you to do that. We're going to read beginning in verse 17. We'll read a couple verses here just for our text. Acts chapter 10, verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. I want to speak for a few moments tonight about a vision and a vacancy. And there's a gap here in when God speaks to Peter and when the work of God actually takes place. And I want to speak about that for just a few moments tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to be here. Lord, we ask that you'll take the Scripture and that you'll apply it to our hearts. Help us, Father, to be receptive to what you have for us. Lord, we're excited about special events. The service we had this morning was a little bit different and special. The service we have tonight's a little bit different and special. Lord, may we not lose sight in the midst of that, of just opening our hearts and hearing from you. I pray that you'd bless us now. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Peter here is standing what I believe to be in the midst or in between a vision and a task. God's given him a vision, a responsibility, a task to perform, and we find him a little bit in the middle of that. As the men near the city of Joppa, you read back in verses 8, 9, and 10, you begin to pick up a little bit more of the story. Peter's on the rooftop, and he's praying, and they're getting ready for supper. In fact, look at verse number 10, if you would. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. This has become my life verse when standing at line at Cracker Barrel. That's just the way it goes. Because sometimes I get tired and it seems like while they're making ready, I can fall asleep waiting on them. And Peter's on the rooftop and they're getting ready for supper and he's tired. And the Bible tells us about this vision that he has. If you're familiar with the story, we won't take the time to really work through all of it. But he sees the heavens opened and God gives him instruction that he was to eat. And Peter says, I can't. And the Lord says to him, it's been made good and call not that thing common. And it goes back and forth and it's repeated several times. And then this sheet that had appeared goes back up into the heavens, and while Peter's in a quandary on what to do, the Bible says that three men knock on his door. Now here he is in the midst of that, and while he's pondering that vision, these men show up at his house, and they're asking for help, just not only for them, but for their whole house. And for a few moments, I want to focus on the while in verse 17 and verse 19. Notice, if you would, in your Bible, that the Bible says in verse 17, now, while. And then verse number 19 opens with, while Peter thought. First of all, Peter, while he doubted. And then second of all, while Peter thought. And perhaps there are some things that we can learn about in this. Oh, it may have been just a split second. It may have been just a small space of time. From the time that God gave him instruction, there was a vacancy between the vision and him getting busy about the task that God had given him to do. Let me show you a couple things tonight. First of all, notice, if you would, the power of a vision. Go back, if you would, to verse number 11. The Bible begins to describe this vision, and he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. And as you continue to read on, the Bible gives us this picture of what Peter has the opportunity to see. Solomon said that without a vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. It has been often said that men who have moved this world and men who have moved this earth have recognized the necessity of a vision. And here in the passage of Scripture, we get this privilege to see Peter's vision. There's a couple things that about Peter's vision that are pretty clear. First of all, it has a command. In verse number 13, God said, I want you to rise, I want you to kill, and I want you to eat. Now, this is different. In fact, it may be the only place in the Scripture that we see something with these type of intricate details and almost at the same time puzzling about what the Lord would mean. The Bible says there were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, beast and creeping thing. And the Lord said, now, Peter, here's what I want you to do. I want you to rise up, and I want you to kill them, and I want you to eat them. I mean, there's a parade of animals like Noah's Ark coming together, and God said, I want you to kill and eat. Now, here's an interesting thing. This vision is accompanied with God's voice that he was to satisfy his hunger. Now watch, just to be simple for a moment, isn't it interesting that in verse number 10, Peter was hungered and God responded to that. God knew exactly what he needed. God knew when he needed, and he knew what he needed. Thank God for that. And the Lord gives him this instruction that really, from the very beginning, doesn't seem to make sense. In fact, maybe that's the last thing he would have thought God would ask him to do. Surely not. I mean, first of all, some of these animals are unclean. I'm a little more cultured than that. I'm a lot more religious than that, Lord. Surely not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't miss it. But do you realize that there are times when God may ask you to do the very last thing you would think he would ask you to do? Lord, are you serious? And we get the privilege of watching the struggle in Peter's soul. Now watch. What Peter felt in his flesh was warring against a clear command from God. What his heart thought and what his heart felt was warring against what God so very clearly said, to the point that Peter blurted out, not so. Not only is there a command in this vision, but there's a conflict. Look at verse number 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And God gives him some instruction about that. It's as if Peter said, now, Lord, what you're asking me to do doesn't make sense. Can I ask you a question? What is your response when God gives you a task that doesn't make sense? Because this didn't make sense. That just doesn't add up. And by the way, as you serve God, God will give you some tasks that just don't make sense. And I wonder sometimes if we're not in the same place where Peter is, where the Lord has spoken to us and the Holy Spirit has moved, and if you will, a vision has been given, and yet we just sit idly by waiting, and there seems to be a vacancy sometimes before we get busy serving God. heard of a young family who was facing the choice of obeying the call of God to go to the mission field or continuing in a comfortable business position that they had. One night, they were in a service just like ours, and there was a veteran missionary that was there, and he was preaching and sharing with the folks his burdens for the field. And after the service, this young family met with that veteran missionary, and they shared with him how that God had spoke to their heart very clearly and burdened them about the mission field. And then they said, "But this is just so difficult. It is so difficult to make the choice of should we go or should we stay?" And that wise veteran missionary took his Bible, he opened it to this very passage of Scripture, he pointed to verse number 14, and he said, "You see there where it says, 'Not so, Lord'? Those two don't go together." He said, "Let me challenge you to take my Bible and to pray about it and cross out one of those two, for it's either 'not so' or it's 'Lord.' But you cannot have it both ways." And the problem here with Peter was that he was going to have to change his attitude and change his response about the will of God while he's watching the vision take place. The Bible says that while he watched, God gave him a confirmation. Look at verse number 16. "This was done three times. Done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." Three times, symbolizing that the gospel would be much broader than just his narrow view of the Jewish covenant. God leaves Peter with this vision. God gives to him a plan. God gives to him a directive. God gives to him instructions about what he would have him to do. And I want to say to you tonight, oh, the power of knowing the plan of God, knowing a direction from God. I think sometimes we make the will of God a lot more difficult than what it really is. I think we make it so mystical and so challenging, and I confess, there are some times where God will ask you to do things that you may not know the next step, and it may not make sense. But ladies and gentlemen, the will of God is really very easy. It's just simply me obeying the Word of God. And when I obey the Word of God, then the will of God becomes very clear. Napoleon Bonaparte said, "Their vision will govern nations to their success or to their failure." He was assigned to the French army that was set in array against the armies of Italy with no money and with no food. History tells that when Napoleon Bonaparte had taken those soldiers, that many of them had been camped there for a period of almost 3 years. A quarter of the men had been sick. A quarter of them were either already taken captive or some of them were killed. And by the time he came to the place of leadership, he had but 24 guns, 4,000 horses, 300,000 francs of silver, a month's supply of food, and but a few men left in his ranks. But Napoleon, in his strength and in his leadership qualities, inspired those men to march, and the rest was history. Our military knows the power of a vision. Artists know the power of a vision, because an artist can see a slab of marble or an empty canvas, and with the power of a vision, it comes to life. Architects know the power of a vision, because they swivel in their chair and in their mind's eye they can see a building and a skyscraper. It goes into the air and they put it on paper, and that vision brings it to life. And I want to say to you seniors in this room, and as well to all of us, but to you seniors tonight, over the years and over the past school days in your life, each of you has had, oh, maybe we can say the word vision. I think we get scared of that. But you've had opportunity to recognize, what does God want me to do with my life? What does the Lord want for me? Where do I go from here? What's the next step? I hope that in the past you've experienced salvation. I hope that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart along the way in a chapel service, or God spoke to your heart in the church service. You've had parents and others come around you and help guide you in decisions. You now have plans for the future, and you're about to embark on a new journey. You're about to set out on something new in your life, and it's as if we're in the same place, or you're in the same place that Peter was, between a vision and a task. God's given me something to do. For me, the next step's to go to Bible college. For me, the next step is to begin this career. God's given me a vision, and we're in the midst of that, all the power of what that could be. Number one, there's a power in a vision. Number two is the perplexity in the vision. I mentioned to you in verse 17 and verse number 19 that the Bible uses the word while. Peter's mind is occupied with the vision. Now think about it. A sheet from heaven. Now I just want to confess for a moment. If you come to church next week and you tell me that you saw a vision like this, I'm going to probably think you had way too many rock star drinks before you went to bed. A sheet from heaven? And all these animals back and forth? What does all that mean? Creatures that are clean and unclean, surely that doesn't mean that all these animals will be taken to heaven. Surely that doesn't mean that when your cat or your dog dies, if you wrap them in a sheet, then they'll get to heaven. By the way, some people believe that. And for a nice donation, you can send off to their ministry and get one of those special sheets. Surely there must be a change in the law. There must be something more that God, what is this all about? And so the Bible says that Peter doubted in himself. He's perplexed. Can I tell you that there may be times in seeking God's will and in doing God's will that you may find yourself in the same place? Pastor, I don't know if it's been the case in your life, but I'm certain there's probably been services and there's been days in ministry where you've thought to yourself, Lord, I don't really know what you're doing. He's still God. And the directive for you is still the same. Brother Crow, I'm sure there's never been a day in your ministry when traveling the United States of America, you've never thought, Lord, I have no idea what you're doing. Your vision's still the same. The calling of God doesn't change. And here we are in Peter's life, and the Word of God and the voice of God has spoken to him, and yet he is perplexed. Now watch. While Peter thought, three men knock on his door. Here comes a knock on his door, and there are three men there. Now, can I just add this as a side note? It's an entirely separate sermon, but what a tragedy to be so lost in the ecstasy of a vision that you don't hear the call of needy men that are seeking to be saved, and furthermore, likewise, to hear needy men and not have a vision from God to be able to declare to them. What an amazing dichotomy. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say to you that we still do the same? Can I say to you guys tonight, Olivia, who's back over there, I should have made you sit here so I can point to you too. It's wonderful that you've graduated high school. Thank the Lord. But there's a whole lot more to be done. God wants you to be a teacher. Great. God wants you to be a preacher. That's wonderful. God wants you to be a businessman or a laborer. That's wonderful. May I ask you, what will you do in the meantime of preparation and practice until you get to that? It's amazing sometimes that we'll hear the Word of God speak to us or the voice of God or a message or whatever the case may be. And then many times we sit around and we stew on it, hoping that God will maybe he'll send us a sheet too. Now, wait a minute. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're a layman. You're a deacon. It's wonderful that you've received a vision. You've even gotten a title from the church. But what good is that if you're not walking with God and you're not telling others about Christ? What good is that? It doesn't make sense. And while Peter thought on the vision, while you thought on the vision, the clock is ticking. Peter was to proclaim his faith. Peter was to break down the barriers of the of race. He was to tell others about Jesus Christ. He was to serve others. He was to be a channel of spiritual blessing to a needy family. He was to become a first century evangelist who would help others find a relationship with Jesus Christ. What a vision. What a task. And yet I find in the Scripture that there is somewhat of a vacancy in between those two. And I want to say to Peter, and we'll learn this in just a moment, what are you waiting for? And ladies and gentlemen, may I make the same statement to you and I tonight, what are you waiting for? Forbes magazine said in the year 2016 that only 8% of Americans successfully complete the tasks that they set out to do. Wow. Now, I don't know how they came up with that survey or where they got their statistic, but 92% do not meet the goals they set for themselves. Now, we're silly to not think that doesn't spill over into the church. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as I stand here, many people have heard the Spirit of God speak to them in a message. You've heard the Word of God as you've opened it and you've read it for yourself. As the Bible's been proclaimed, you've heard the preacher stand and deliver, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Word of God speaks to you. And yet, many times, we're still stuck in the pew while we're thinking on it, while we're pondering it, while in the midst of it, while we're perplexed about it, or while we doubt about it. That's what the Bible says. And may I say to our high school graduates, you are pursuing the will of God. Praise God for that. You stay the course. Do not quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God has a purpose and a plan for you. There's a power in the vision, a perplexing in the vision. And then number three, notice the purpose from the vision. Look at verse number 20. "Rise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. And all you need to know, I have sent them." That's all you need to know, Peter. I've sent them. Now, there are two things that I think God shows us in Peter's life, and perhaps this is the message, if you will, while Peter is in this place, in the midst of the wild. I think God shows us two things. Number one, he was to wait on God. And number two, he was to work for God. Both of those are evident in his life. The Bible says that he saw the vision three times and three men appear at his gate. That's not an accident. Now, it is highly unlikely that you will see the hand of God so prominently. It's probably not going to be. There's a very unlikely chance that three men will show up at your gate tonight. They may be officers. That may be different. I can't help you with that. But we're not to doubt whether or not God is working, or whether he hears or cares. It is worth reminding ourselves that when it comes to a puzzling crossroad in your life, when you make a decision one way or the other, it could affect your life for a very long time. The Holy Spirit is actively involved and will enable us to make the right decisions if we wait. If we wait. It is not usually wise to make a decision as long as perplexity lasts. And by the same token, it's not usually wise to stay in a place of perplexity perpetually. Say that five times. For a high school graduate, you're deciding or have decided, where will I go to college? Before long, you'll be deciding, who will I marry? Maybe there's other young people or adults in this room under the same place. Will I change my major? Will I change jobs? Is it time for me to change a career? Is it time for me to move my family? I want to say to you, you wait on God and he will give you clarity. I'm ever amazed that in our Christian life, many people make decisions and then they blame God for the results. By the way, God will send someone by, are you listening? With the advice that you need. That's what he did for Peter. You better be sure that you don't ignore that and go elsewhere until you find the advice that you want to hear. And so God spoke to Peter, and waiting brought that clarity. Here he is on the rooftop, and all of a sudden, he hears a pounding at the door, and he is prompted into action. And watch, All the while he's seated on the rooftop, the men show up at his gate. All the while the men arrive and they're knocking and they're trying to find someone who can arouse, that they can help with their desperate need. Someone who can answer their questions. Someone who can tell them of eternal life. And ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that it is often the same as we begin to make application. You look around today and it doesn't take much to see there are needy people all around us. Friends and family, people who are co-workers, young people who are standing by and they are knocking, looking for answers. There is a great need today for people to be teachers, for people to be soul winners, for people to be scientists, for people to be doctors, for people... We need some good insurance agents. There's a great need for people to be missionaries and preachers and evangelists. There's a great need. And you don't have to wait for three people to show up at your gate. To make that clear, they say that there's an average today of 12,000 Baptist churches in America without a full-time pastor. That's a bunch. We need soul winners. We need laymen. We need those who will go to work, those who will be faithful, those who will be faithful members of the church who just simply love God and who are in their place and who are serving God. The Bible says that there is a great need for laborers. The demand is great, but laborers are few. It was that way in Jesus' day. Seems to me that it's still the same today. But watch, sometimes we get so enamored with high pay and making a name for ourselves that our ears are closed to those who are at the gate knocking, and we are content to make a living and feather our nest and let others downward go to hell. God forbid. This is not a soul-winning message. But pray tell, for the life of me, I do not understand how any believer cannot be actively telling others about Christ. Say, preacher, it's too hot for me to go out and knock doors. Fine. I passed arguing about that a long time ago in my ministry. But then tell me, when do you tell others about Christ? And where? And where is the fruit that remains for that? God forbid. We have been called to the kingdom of heaven for such a time as this. And you as young people tonight, you're in this place in your life for such a time as this. And it's not to just enjoy life and to kick back and to just have a good ride. No, my friend. It's to make your mark and to decide that for the rest of your life, you'll serve God and you'll be faithful. Maybe in the years to come, you'll come back to this church. Maybe you'll end up in another church somewhere. Can I challenge you? Whatever you do, you be a help to that church. Every member in this room tonight, you ought to be a help to your local church. You ought to be praying. You ought to be giving. You ought to be serving. You ought to be in your place to make a difference. Do we hear the knock? Do we see the need? Peter did, and he answered the call, and he saw Gentiles that could be clean through the word of God. Now, my time is gone, but I want you to notice that when Peter came to the house of Cornelius, he found him and his family and all the neighbors gathered ready to hear the word of God. Drop down to verse number 28, would you? Peter said unto them, and he said, but Peter speaking, you know how it is, an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come to another nation, and the list goes on for three verses. Essentially, Peter says, why did you send for me? In verses 30 through 33, they say, we want to hear about God. Will you tell us? And from verse 34 through the end of the chapter, Peter tells them how that Christ died, how that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And you know what happened? People saw. People that had hungry souls were fed. People were given eternal life because they trusted in Jesus Christ. Today, before us, you have a vision and a task. And you kind of find yourself somewhere in the middle. By the way, many of us have been in the same place. May God help us to see it very clearly and to obey it fully. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would take these thoughts and, Lord, entwine them in our hearts And help us, first of all, Lord, to have ears to hear. And then, Lord, I pray that you would allow in this room, not just for young people, not just for a high school graduate, but Lord, for all of us, may we be open and receptive to hearing you speak to our hearts and to be obedient thereby. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.